Our sermon text for this day is found in Romans chapter 10, verses 5 through 15. Romans 10, 5 through 15. Moses describes in this way the righteousness that is by the law. The man who does these things will live by them. But the righteousness that is by faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down, or who will descend into the deep, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith we are proclaiming, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and if you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. As Scripture says, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame, for there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of them all, and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who believes, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Lord Jesus Christ, we pray that you would be honored and glorified in our reflections together on this passage. And as we think about how you have called each of us into ministry, into service, into believing and speaking the good news of Jesus Christ, give us grace as we center ourselves on your word this day, that we might live lives that are pleasing to you through your power and through your strength. It's in your strong name that we pray these things. Amen. An aside. Before I address the topic for the day, which is women in ministry, there is no room in the Christian worldview for white supremacy. You may have seen the news that's come out in Charlottesville, Virginia over the past couple of days. People are free to gather and express their opinions, and all is well and good in the world, but there is no room in the Christian worldview for white supremacy, to say that our lives matter more than other people's lives, or that we are losing something because of conversations that are going on in the world. There is no room in the Christian worldview for that. And I say that specifically because of what this passage that we've just read together says. Let me remind you, as the scripture says, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. I bring this up today not just because of current events that happen in our country, but because I'm aware that there are homes in our community that are not too far from where some of us live that fly Confederate flags. The specter of our past is not very far from us. And we need to always be cognizant that that God's grace extends to all people, and that our place in this world is determined by our identity in Christ and not by the color of our skin. There's no room for white supremacy in Christianity. Now to the main topic for the day, which is women in ministry. Another topic that can be a little bit loaded, a little bit charged, and a little bit controversial. Hopefully not in our circle, because we are generally in favor of women in ministry, but not all Christian groups are. And that's all right. That's part of how we function as people. We make decisions and kind of branch off into different groups based on what we believe. And we need to be aware of that too. There's a difference of opinion on this as well. Speaking of current events, though, another bit of news that you may have picked up on this week, if your news feed happened to include this story, there was a senior analyst at Google who was fired this week. This gentleman had written a post, an article, about 3,000 words. I read it this week. And he was fired because this post says, he was writing on the internal Google message boards, and he was explaining how his understanding, among other things, our post was about many things, but about this in particular was the issue. He said that there are biological differences between men and women that enable men to be better computer programmers than women. I see Linda shaking her head back there. Ooh, that's bad news right there. Yeah, biological differences between men and women that enable men, as if women did not have enough of a difficult time getting into jobs like those. Now we have someone saying that no, that men are actually biologically programmed to be better programmers. He lost his job this week, and there was a lot of uproar about that in the tech world. It's all to illustrate that women in the workplace is an important present-day topic. It's something that we need to be aware of and be able to talk about as Christians from a faith perspective. This week, I attended a two-day conference called the Global Leadership Summit. This happens through the Willow Creek Church. It's one of the big mega churches, kind of the granddaddy of the mega churches, down in Chicago, Illinois. For the past 23 years, they have held this annual Global Leadership Summit. This was the first time I was able to go. I didn't go to Chicago. They live stream it in many different places around the country and around the world. I went to Messiah Lutheran, which hosted it this year, and went there for Thursday and Friday, 2 days of lots of different high-profile speakers talking about leadership in today's world, especially from a Christian perspective. It's not exclusively from a Christian perspective, but many of them are. One of the speakers I'd like to share with you today is a lady named Sheryl Sandberg. Sheryl Sandberg is the chief operating officer of Facebook. She holds a very high position in this company that many of us use on an everyday basis. And she gave an interview with Bill Hybels. Bill is the pastor, the senior pastor, the founding pastor of Willow Creek. And he interviewed Sheryl to talk about her life, her experience as a woman in the workplace, also her process of dealing with the grief, the aftermath of the death of her husband at an early age. She spoke very openly about many of those kinds of issues. But for our purposes, she's talking about the role of gender in the workplace. Sheryl mentioned that of all of the Fortune 500 CEOs that exist, only 5% are female. She mentioned that of all of the Congress people, the senators and representatives that form the legislature of our nation, 20%, only 20% are women. And Bill Hybels said to her, you know, Sheryl, we need to identify in this conversation, he said to her, we need to identify men, boys and girls, early on in their lives, and these boys and girls who have leadership potential, and get them into a leadership track so we can raise up leaders for the next generation. And Sheryl Sandberg kind of blinked at him and said, yeah, I agree, but especially the girls. He wasn't picking up on the point right then that it's not just boys and girls. Boys get into leadership tracks and positions a lot easier than girls do. She was very much emphasizing how we need to identify young women who have leadership potential and get them into leadership tracks that can lead them into positions of leadership so that their gifts can be used just like the boys. And Sheryl said, you know how little girls are sometimes called bossy? Have any of you ever been called bossy? Tara raised, oh, Jesse, wonderful. Anybody else going to volunteer? Lorene, okay, like mother, like daughter, I get it. That's good. Geraldine? Okay, wonderful. See? Your okay, that's good. That's good. Sheryl Sandberg told the story of how she overheard somebody saying to a young girl, "Oh, you're being so bossy. Stop being so bossy." And Sheryl walked up to that person and said, "That young girl isn't bossy. She's showing executive leadership skills." And we laugh, right? It's funny. But then Sheryl Sandberg said, you know, if you turn that around, it's not funny. If you say to a young boy, he has executive leadership skills, that's not a funny thing to say at all. It's a really serious thing. And you think, oh, he does. But because we're not used to seeing young girls with executive leadership skills, or at least acknowledging that they have them, it's kind of humorous or surprising at the very least when we recognize that perhaps they do. She said that we will get female leaders in our institutions when both the institutions support them and when the individuals believe that they can lead. It takes both. The structures to realize that women can lead and for the women themselves to be recognized and to rise up and take leadership roles. Did you know that in our congregation, the very first pastor of this congregation, back when we were founded in 1943, almost 75 years ago, was a woman? Her name is Gwendolyn Ware. Dorothy, you probably remember her from those early years. We have a picture of her. David, if you'd put that up on the screen. She's the one on the left. She and her husband there. In all of our records and all of our... Thank you. In all of our documents, it's listed as Reverend Gwendolyn Ware and Brother Ware. He doesn't have a name. He is Mr. Gwendolyn Ware for our purposes today. That's wonderful. She was the pastor here for the first couple of years as we were getting started in the Brooks Road School building, and then moving into this basement facility when that came about. She was the first of our pastors in this church. We have had a dozen pastors in the life of this church. I'm number 12. Unless you count Randall Mead, our on-again, off-again interim pastor, then I'm number 13. He's been here for long enough, he might count. I don't know. So it depends on how you count, 12 or 13. But we've only had one who has been a woman. Now, in the Church of God, we say that we believe very strongly in women in ministry, but as a whole, as a denomination, we have not always done a very good job of supporting this. Let me show you tell you some numbers. I don't have them to show you. Some figures to help illustrate this. In the history of the Church of God, if you go back to 1905, 112 years ago, right? There were 353 congregations in the Church of God. We were kind of a young movement at that point. And there were 50 of those congregations that were led by women, female pastors. You never say male pastor, though, right? It's kind of weird to say female pastor. Anyway, I'm a male pastor. I should own that. That's 14%. In 1905, 14% of our churches were led by women. If you go 20 years down the road, we had grown to 685 churches, and there were 220 of them that were led by women. That's 32%, almost a third of our congregations were led by women in 1925. But if you go up to 1945, 20 more years down the road, this is odd to me because this is in the height of World War II when so many men were doing other things, otherwise occupied, in other parts of the world. We had 1,572 churches. We'd grown a lot, but we had shrunk to only 112 of them having female pastors. That's 7%. From 32% in 1925, we were down to 7% in 1945. By 1965, it was down to 4%, and by 1975, 3% of our churches were led by women. Since that time, it's rebounded a bit. In 2013, the last year that I had numbers for, we're up to 11% of churches that are led by women pastors, ministers. That's an improvement, I suppose, but 11 is still, you know, 1 in 9. That's not that many. On our Church of God website, David, you can put that next slide up there. Perfect. Yes, it's small, so I'll read it for you. But just to illustrate, this is our public declaration, as far as the internet goes, of one of our nine core beliefs. We have these nine ideas that we've been expanding upon in the past few weeks. Today we're looking at women in ministry, and on JesusIsTheSubject.org, I had to say it right, it says this about what we believe in women in ministry. And this time, the last couple of weeks, I've been a little bit critical of what the website says. This week, I don't have that criticism. It's mostly pretty good. Here it is. The distributions of gifts by the Holy Spirit for the edification of the body of Christ is not determined by gender. God has poured out his Spirit on all people, and both sons and daughters will prophesy and teach and shepherd the flock. In Christ, in the kingdom of God, that which once divided us, Jew and Gentile, there that is again, slave, free, male and female, those no longer separate. From the earliest days of the Church of God movement, we have celebrated the ministry leadership of outstanding women clergy and continue to do so. That's a pretty fair statement. If I were to add anything to it, I might add some biblical examples of women who have assumed roles of leadership, especially in a highly patriarchal time, 2,000 years and earlier, that these women were noted is really remarkable. Women like Miriam and Deborah and Esther, Huldah, Athaliah, Elizabeth, Mary, Anna, Mary Magdalene, Priscilla, Julia. There are many that we could identify, and we should tell their stories. There are many passages of Scripture that support women in ministry. Today we're just looking at Romans 10, 5 through 15, which does not specifically talk about women, but it casts a wide net in terms of who is eligible and expected to speak the good news of the gospel. We often reduce this passage just to verse 9, which says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. We reduce the whole gospel just to that one verse, especially in evangelical circles, which we're sort of in, but not really, kind of. And we say, that's really the core of the issue. If you believe in your heart, then you are good. If you say the words Jesus is Lord, or, you know, not just that, but if your life kind of goes in line with that, then you are saved. That's fine. That's all well and good, but it produces a problem if we reduce the gospel, or certainly just this passage, to that one sentence. The problem is that we end up thinking of Christian faith as something that is just internalized, something that is just to be kind of swallowed and brought into you, and that is the end of it. And any speaking about Jesus, any proclamation of the gospel, any sharing of the good news with anybody else is really best reserved for people who are standing here, pastors, preachers, other kinds of leaders, who, of course, are overwhelmingly male. So it's kind of, you're off the hook to talk to somebody about Jesus. That's really what my job is about. We have sort of, over the years, developed that kind of perspective on what this gospel thing is really all about. But look at what Romans 10 says. It says that faith in Jesus involves an internal heart transformation, which is true, but it also involves an external outward expression of the truth of Jesus. It says the word of God is near you. It is in your heart and in your mouth. And words that are in your mouth usually get spoken, so that somebody else can hear them. It's not just an internal thing for you to take into yourself. It's something for you to share with other people. There is no distinction between Jew and Gentile, neither as recipients of the word of God, and consequently, nor as speakers of the word of God. God calls all kinds of people to share the message of Jesus with all kinds of people. It's not just reserved for pastors to share about their faith. All of us are responsible for the internalization and the externalization of our faith in Jesus. And the women among us are just as able to receive a call from God to share Christ with their neighbors, either informally as a regular church person, as a regular Christian, or more formally, as an ordained minister. Now, I know that there are a few young women among us, and I know one in particular has expressed to me a little bit of a call to ministry herself. Is it okay if I name you? Jessie, right? She smiles. Yes, she's told me that she has felt a call to serve God with her life in some form, some shape, some way that is ministry-oriented. And I celebrate that, Jessie. And I want you to know, and any other young women among us who might be here today or might be listening to this later, because you know we do the internet thing, that if you have a call to ministry, if God is calling you to serve in His church, in His kingdom, in some capacity that you think might be best done by a man, I will stand with you and I will support you and I will walk with you and encourage you and give you as many resources as I can and cheer you on as you serve, because we believe in women in ministry. And I don't want anything to stand in your way of serving the Lord with your life. We need to be more proactive, number one, in sharing the good news of Jesus, and number two, in encouraging those who are called to share that good news with others. So I'd like to do a little bit of a practical exercise with you just now. This is going to be a little different. I have here some cards. Some cards that are pre-stamped and pre-returned addressed from our church. There are 33 of these cards that I've got in two lovely little boxes. And inside each of these envelopes is the card that you will see. The 33 cards are for 33 women pastors. Again, there's that strange phrase. But pastors who are women in our state. In the Church of God in Michigan, there are 31 ordained ministers who are female. Some of them are serving in churches, some of them are chaplains, some of them are retired, some of them are between jobs. Two of them are Angie's sisters, right? Yeah, Madonna and Lynette. They are in this mix as well. That's 31 of the 33. The other two are two women pastors, there's that dumb phrase again, who are serving in our local community but are not part of the Church of God. Poseyville United Methodist Church, just across the way from us, has brought in a new pastor, Lynn Frazier. I've had the chance to meet her. She says she's come out of retirement to help that church kind of restart itself and get moving in a new direction. She's a fun lady. She is there as the successor to a younger pastor who has moved now to Freeland United Methodist Church. Her name is Kayla Rose, and she has just finished a seminary degree and is now at a full-time position over there in Freeland. Those two are in this mix as well. What I'd like for you to do is to take one of these cards, the name and address of a pastor who is female is inside the card. I'd like for you to write a note of encouragement. Perfect, David. Well done. A note of encouragement to these women. I've got pens. I've got the cards. To say something to them along the lines of, Mount Haley Church of God is thankful for you. This will stay up for you. And we'll be praying for you as a woman in ministry. I'd like for you to sign it on behalf of the church and to put your name on it and to make sure three or four other people around you sign the cards as well. So every female pastor that we are connected to somehow, almost every, I suppose there are probably others, but at least in our state, in the Church of God, and these two locally, everyone this week will get a card in the mail from our church with at least three or four people signing it saying, we believe in you. Will you do that? Here we go. Let's pray together as we draw this time to a close, and then we'll move to our closing hymn for the day, and then we'll be dismissed. But let's pray together. Lord, we give you thanks that you call people to serve you and to follow you with their lives. And we give you thanks for these 33 women whom we have been thinking about and praying for just now as we've been writing these cards. We give you thanks that they have been called into ministry in a time in which it may be difficult for them to find places to serve and where it may not be easy for them to continue serving. But we pray, Lord, that their ministries would be full and rich and that that you would be pleased in their efforts, and that they would be strengthened by your Spirit to do what you have called them to do. Strengthen us to do what you have called us to do as well, and help us each to take in the word of Christ and to speak out the word of truth at every occasion that we can. We give you thanks for all things in Jesus' name.